the Eternity Podcast Network, eternitypodcasts.com.au.
Hello, I'm Jenny Salt, and welcome to Salt, a place where we'll enter into the lives of people and discover heartwarming, sometimes challenging, yet always distinctive gospel stories.
This is probably a weakness of mine at the moment, but I just feel I can't pray that right now because I know that it could lead to what happened last year. It got extremely bad. But at the same time, I'm trying to learn to trust him because those times were really where I felt closest to him.
My guest today is minister and musician Scott Lavender. Like most of us, Scott and his family will have reflections on 2020 and 2021. Some good, many hard. COVID has changed so much in our world. But for Scott, as he reflects back on the last 12 months, it's not just COVID that has made it the hardest he's ever faced. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Lovely to have you here. Scott, you are a minister's kid, or an MK as some people call them.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up? And maybe you can talk about what it means to be a minister's kid.
Yeah, good question. I think, for most of my life, I've been a Westie, so around Penrith from about year eight. But before that, we actually, I was living in Minchinbury when I was younger, so Western Sydney again, but then we actually moved into Newtown when I was in about year two because my dad decided to become a minister. And so we moved into Moore College in Sydney. And so for a couple of years, we were in Newtown, and then we moved out to Sans Souci, just outside the Shire, when I was in about year three, I think.
So you went from Westie to inner Westie to kind of in the Shire of Sydney.
Yeah. And then back out west again. We moved to Glenmore Park when I was in year eight. Because my dad became the senior minister there at Glenmore Park Anglican. And he was there. He retired a couple of years ago.
And what are your memories of growing up with a dad who's a minister, given that he wasn't, like, you were a young child when he became a minister? What are some of your reflections on that?
I loved it. As a kid, it just meant really that our house was often quite open, so especially on Sundays, there were just kids everywhere. So all the kids would come over after church, and we'd play Sega Mega Drive or whatever the system was back then, and we'd play games outside, and it was often quite crazy. Most of the time, I loved it. It was really good. We'd have people around for meals, and it was a great time.
And your mum and dad, both being in ministry, what sort of model did they give you? Because you're in ministry now too. Is that something that kind of set you up to go into ministry itself?
I think growing up, I was always quite shy and loved being a bit more in the background, and still am quite similar. But my dad is he's much more extroverted, and he loves talking with people up front and loves preaching. And I think really I saw that as that's what a minister is, someone who's very outgoing and up front all the time and really loves being able to do that. And I mean, he was a teacher before that, so that's always been the way that he has been. And I think seeing that, I kind of thought, I'm not really like that. I'm not really cut out for that. If that's what full-time ministry is, if that's what looking after a church, being a pastor is, then I'm not really suited to that. So growing up, I never wanted to go into full-time ministry. It was never really something I wanted to pursue.
Mm. And people might assume that growing up with a minister for a dad, that of course you will be a Christian, and you are a Christian.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a matter of osmosis.
Yeah.
How did you become a Christian, Scott?
Yeah, I think so. I was very blessed in the way that both of my parents are Christians, obviously. And so they brought us up reading the Bible. We'd have devotions together, and I was always going to church. And I think just because of God's grace, really, I was able to give my life to Jesus at a very young age. I don't actually remember the age that I was when I became a Christian. There was a bit of a turning point when I went to uni, first year of uni. It really just was because there was someone handing out brochures for a church or a Christian group or something along those lines. And she handed me one and asked me to come to the church. And I said, oh, it's okay. I don't need one. My dad's a minister at a church in Glenmore Park. And I kind of walked away from that thinking, I didn't even need to mention my dad. I'm not sure why I mentioned that. And I think at that point, I kind of realized that this is my own faith, and it's decisions that I need to make for myself, and it's nothing really that belongs to my parents. This is on me. And so up until that point, I'd always been a Christian, but I think there was just something that clicked a bit more at that point in time.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you're at uni. You'd worked out that full-time ministry really wasn't for you.
Yeah.
So you went to uni. What did you do at uni, and what did you do from there?
Yeah, so coming out of high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I loved design and architecture and drawing. So I wanted to do architecture at uni, but I think at that point you needed like a 96 for the HSC.
Yeah.
And I got okay, but nowhere near 96. And so I thought maybe civil engineering might be quite similar. There was kind of structures and building involved. So I ended up doing that, a year of civil engineering, and it really wasn't like architecture. So I didn't love it. And the aim was to then transfer to architecture after a year. But the maths that we had to do in engineering was just a whole other level. And I think I got a 48 or a 49% at the end. And because of that, I wasn't able to transfer.
Okay.
So that was sad, but it was how it was meant to be.
Yeah. So no more civil engineering or architecture.
Yeah.
So what did you actually end up doing?
Yeah, so I ended up, I had a mate who did architectural technology, which was the drafting side of architecture, the drawing side, which was the stuff I loved anyway. And he did that at TAFE, and it looked great. So I ended up transferring to that for a couple of years and really, really enjoyed it, because it was the more hands-on kind of stuff, the more drawing and sketching, and which I loved.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what you did. So you became an architectural draftsman. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. So I studied for 2 years, 3 years, and ended up, doing that, working for a project development consultant. So I'd draw up factories and townhouses for people, and then ended up working in project homes and drawing houses. And did that for a few years.
And did you love that?
I really loved it a lot. Especially I ended up in a good workplace with some guys that we really had a lot of fun. We'd get a lot of work done, but there was a lot of laughter while we did it as well. It was really a good time.
Yeah. So given that you loved it, given that you were doing something that you really enjoyed, one can assume that you're still doing that, but you're not.
No.
So you had a shift in direction.
Yeah.
What did that shift involve?
So I think while I was working in that role, there was a part of me that wanted to just dig deeper into the Bible. I was leading a Bible study group at church and involved in music ministry. And I just kind of felt like I wanted to learn a bit more to just really help me in those roles. So I considered going to Bible college just for a year, just to learn a bit more. Yeah. And I didn't really know when the time would be for that, because I was working full time. But at the end of 2008, our boss at this project home company called myself and the other draftsmen in, and they just wanted to know the commitment for our next few years and were we all on the same page. And at that point, Bible college wasn't a concrete thing for me. And so my plan was just to say, I love working here and I'm committed here for a while. And then it got to my friend who had been considering studying some more architecture. And when he answered, he said, oh, he might be going to uni to do some more study. And so I thought maybe I should just mention just the slight chance that one day in the future I might study at Bible college. And so I mentioned that. I mentioned I loved it here, really committed, but maybe one day I might go to Bible college for a year. And then pretty much straight after that meeting, my supervisor, who wasn't in that meeting, came and said, oh, I heard you're going to Bible college next year. Congratulations. And I got an email from my boss saying, thanks for being honest with us. We're looking for a replacement for you.
Wow.
And that was around October of 2008. Yes. So it was almost the end of the year. And I kind of thought, wow, maybe this is the kick that I need to,
yes,
to get out there and check out Bible college.
While we have a quick break, let me introduce you to our Associates Program. This Wednesday morning lecture program is for people over 50 who may now have more time on their hands and want to dig deeper into the Bible without the pressure of exams or assignments. You can come to one, a few, or ideally come to all 12 lectures in the series. There will be a different subject for each semester, and you'll also join in with the main weekly chapel service called Principles Hour. It's such a popular program. So if that age group is you, or you know someone who is over 50, why not check out the Associates Program? For all the details, visit the Studies section of snbc.edu.au and look for the Associates Program. So there you are, that little nudge towards Bible college, which you did go, and you weren't thinking full-time ministry, of course, because, you know, you always knew you weren't cut out for it. So, but there you are in Bible college. And what was that like as you kind of immersed yourself in study?
Yeah, I really, really loved it. I had only planned to go for 1 year, but at the interview, I was encouraged to apply for 3 years to do the Bachelor of Theology degree.
And this is at SNBC that you were studying.
Yeah, yes. And was encouraged that it's easier to do that and then to drop back to 1 year if I don't want to do that, which was my plan.
Yeah.
And it was the plan of my wife, Fiona, as well. We were both, she was a teacher at the time, so she kept teaching and I went to college. And the plan was to finish after that year, but I just loved it so much that about halfway through the year, I kind of thought I could do the whole 3 years of this. I really love it. And so that's what ended up happening.
And so it sounds like that first year of Bible college was a really good year, and yet it was that year when you started to have some medical issues. Is that right,
Scott?
Yeah,
yeah. So it would have been around May in the first year. I was just hit with this extreme pain in my gut, and it ended up, I hadn't ever felt that kind of pain before. And it ended up being what's called pancreatitis, which is just this incredible burning pain where basically the pancreas starts eating away at itself rather than digesting food. And the pain is strong enough to, I was in hospital on morphine for a week. And then they actually took my gallbladder out because they thought that might solve it, and it didn't. I continued to get it a couple of times that year, and then have really had it sometimes 2 or 3 years since then. So since 2009.
So that's about, about 12 or 13 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can't have your pancreas out.
No.
We need our pancreas.
Yeah.
And so is it more of a like a chronic condition that flares up from time to time?
Yeah, it really is. And it's really just very unpredictable. And there hasn't, for a lot of them, a lot of people with pancreatitis, they can find out the cause and the reason behind it. But they didn't actually find out the reason behind mine until about a year ago. So, and still now I'm not sure what causes the flare-ups. So it's still very unpredictable.
So at any given time, Scott, you could have a flare-up and there's no warning. It just happens out of the blue.
Yeah, basically, something might start feeling off for kind of 15 or 20 minutes, and then it just kind of really starts to ramp up. And I've kind of learnt, so most of the time now I'm not in hospital when I get it. I've just got very strong painkillers at home, and kind of I'm just out of action for 4 or 5 days. But yeah, it can get very, very bad.
I remember you telling me once that the principal at the time when you were at college, he was talking about knowing and seeing or experiencing something of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, because I think it's interesting, the timing of things.
It was very interesting. I remember in a lecture he said that we were talking about God's glory, and he said, if you want to experience the glory of God, ask him. But often the way that God does that is through some very deep suffering or something along those lines. And very short, I prayed that prayer. maybe I was naive, but it really, shortly afterwards, that was when I was struck down with pancreatitis and have had that for kind of, 13 years.
And so sometimes people want to wish away, the pain, but often people will say, I wouldn't wish it away because I've just experienced something of the Lord's presence and comfort and strength. Is that your experience over these last 12 to 13 years?
I think God really has answered that prayer in a way. Because I really have experienced God in a way that I wouldn't have without that. I've really sensed his presence, particularly over this last year. I've sensed his peace and just this calmness and his love. I think in those times of the extreme suffering, I've felt most close to God. And so there's no way that I'd wish it away, but at the same time I feel, so there's a prayer that comes up in this prayer app that I have, and it one of the prayers is asking God to help me desire him, whatever it takes, just bring that into my life so that I can desire him more. And whenever that prayer comes up at the moment, I don't know if this is this is probably a weakness of mine at the moment, but I just feel I can't pray that right now, because I know that it could lead to what happened last year. It got extremely bad. But at the same time, I'm trying to learn to trust him, because those times were really where I felt closest to him.
It's kind of this paradox, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
You've referred to last year. And so why last year in particular?
Yeah, well, so I've had pancreatitis, as I've said, on and off for all those years. But last year, around August, I was just struck really badly. So I was driving on the M7 in Western Sydney, and just felt like my body was shutting down. Something weird was going on, and I felt I'm not going to be able to drive this car for much longer because I don't know if I'm going to be conscious. And so I had to call the ambulance, and I pulled over, and they came and took me to hospital. They couldn't find out the cause of it. And then the same thing happened again a week later. And then shortly after that, I experienced the worst pancreatitis attack that I've had, where I've never – often the nurses ask me what kind of pain I'm experiencing when I've got a flare-up. And usually I say a 9 out of 10 or a 9.5 out of 10 because I always wonder if there's a little bit more pain. I don't know what a 10 out of 10 is, but – this time last year, I was hit with what I felt like was a 15 out of 10 kind of pain. And I was screaming literally for 45 minutes until the ambulance got there. And they gave me about 4 or 5 shots of morphine and took me to hospital. And then from there on, I had a number of tests, MRIs, and I think now in the last year, I've had, I think it's 7 procedures or operations. So that they can try and get to the bottom of what's going on. And I've been in hospital so many times, and just a lot of very sleepless nights in hospital, and just really fearful for what this all means. And I mean, I've come a long way since where I was maybe 6 months to a year ago. But it has been really, really intense.
I want to tell you about another great podcast. It's called The Word on the Street with Anna Ware. Anna designs 10-minute Bible studies for you and your kids that you can do literally anywhere, in the car, in your home, and they're full of great questions, helpful answers, and great reflections on the Bible. If you'd like to subscribe to this and other great podcasts, go to eternitypodcasts.com. Is it the worst year that you've ever had? Yeah. Like, is that how you look back on the last year?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. I think I've said a couple of times that I've felt the year maybe before that for Fiona and myself was the hardest year in terms of some decisions we had to make. Yeah. But last year was the worst year just in terms of at least 3 or 4 moments where I literally felt I was about to die. And just a lot of dark moments and very difficult times. And at the same time, as we've talked about, I've felt so close to God. So it's been the worst year, but in some ways the best, or I don't know how to phrase it. But I think there's been a lot of that has really led to a lot of depression as well. So it's really, which is something I've never dealt with before. I've had moments of anxiety growing up, which I've seen counselors about and talked through a lot of that. But this kind of deep depression that's really sprung from these moments in hospital and moments where I felt close to death has been something very new and very hard to deal with.
And how has that impacted your relationship with God? So on one hand, you've talked about the presence of God and almost being a tangible sense of his comfort and his strength and his presence. Is that what it is? Is that something that you have constantly experienced?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really strange thing. I think one thing that it's really caused me to realize is just my total dependence on God. There's just been moments where I've just literally felt like I was losing my mind through it all. And I just felt, I don't know how people can do this without Jesus. And just knowing that he is in control, knowing that he's sovereign, knowing that he's got it all. So it's really deepened my trust in him. and deepened my relationship with him. Definitely, yeah.
And you're not just because you actually are in full-time ministry. We haven't mentioned that, which is interesting given, you know, you always thought that this was not going to be part of your life. So you are in full-time ministry in a local church, but you're also a musician and you've been involved in music over many years. How has your music worked alongside your pancreatitis?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when I first was going through a lot of the suffering back in 2009, I think music has always been a way for me to just get thoughts that I haven't been able to express properly just out. And so there's been a number of songs that I've written just reflecting on suffering. But one of the first ones was a song back in 2009 called Overtime. Chorus is kind of the idea of it says, bring me down, watch me fall, you pull me apart, repair me, build me up, you pull me apart. And it's just that idea of kind of reflecting on Romans chapter 5, where it talks about suffering producing perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So knowing that in suffering we are broken down, and it really does break us, but then it kind of builds us up to be stronger, and it produces a perseverance in us, and it produces character, and it produces hope. So just it's a song that really reflects on the way that God uses suffering to shape us and to build us.
The end of that best worst year of your life, or how do you view it from this perspective?
Yeah, that's really tricky. I feel I have just come so far from, I mean, this time last year, it was very, very dark. I was not sure where things were going to end up. Things have been in the last few months so much more hopeful. I mean, I had another checkup a few weeks ago and things were looking good. They weren't looking perfect, but I mean, from where things were, much, much better. And I'm feeling in a better space mentally as well. It's still very up and down, but I mean, overall, I would say I'm feeling kind of towards the end of that worst moment.
And as you look forward, so you can look back and with a certain perspective, what do you, when you look forward to the next year, what sort of perspective do you have on that, or what do you look forward to?
Yeah, that's a hard one because, well, as we're all feeling, just everything is so unpredictable right now. Mm. But I mean, especially with my circumstances, we've just not known what's going to be happening when. I mean, in a practical sense, our family's excited because we're getting a pool at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to.
But yeah, I think, I don't know, I just some kind of sense of normality. And I mean, I'm just so excited at the moment to be going back to church with people and singing with people. Yeah, that's really what I'm excited about at the moment. Just being with God's people, being with the church. Yeah.
That's wonderful, Scott. I mean, it really is interesting how, you know, as a young boy thinking you would never be in full-time ministry and you are in ministry, but also with something that has been really hard, really challenging, and yet your perspective on God's goodness in the midst of that is so encouraging.
Oh, thanks, Jenny.
Thank you for sharing that with us today.
No worries at all. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed being part of the conversation with Scott today, and importantly, been encouraged to be salt and light to those around you. For our final salt of season 5, wow, one of the most entertaining episodes I've ever done. We'll meet an Australian abroad. We'll talk about international Christianity and life among our American cousins. We'll see you then. Salt is hosted by me, Jenny Salt, and produced by Mark Hadley. Editing by Hadley Inc. For all show notes and more episodes, head to sbc.edu.au/salt. Salt is a Sydney Missionary and Bible College podcast and part of the Eternity Podcast Network, an audio collection showcasing the seriously good news of faith today. Thanks for making Salt possible.